the data centers are coming now and faster than ever with their load.
A lot of the problems that we're talking about are really, really big.
If we put all of these good ideas together, how does that kind of chip away at the problem?
It's not just about throwing a bunch of solutions at the wall. It's also about really getting granular and defining those problems.
For the utility industry, there's long been a challenge of data being siloed, data not being necessarily reliable.
We can't just throw tech at problems. We have to really understand what we're doing. And then how are we going to solve this problem?
How do we collectively figure out how to efficiently scale along with where the need is scaling?
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Power Perspectives. I'm Kinsey Grant Baker, and I know all of our episodes are special, but this one feels especially special. We just got back late last night from DistribuTech, which is arguably the electric utility industry's biggest annual event. So we figured what better way to put off unpacking and doing our laundry than to sit down, throw on some mics, and chat about what we saw. So that's what we're going to do today. It is the Energy Central DTech Recap coming to you straight from the team who's on the ground in San Diego over this past week. I am joined today by Energy Central Community Manager, highly regarded industry analyst. You know him. It's Matt Chester. Matt, how we doing? How are you? How has your return to real life been post DTech now that we're a whole, 12 hours in?
Yeah, like you said, it's a long flight that we have to recover from, and I haven't gotten to that physical unpacking, but I'm excited to be with you today so we can do the metaphorical unpacking, because there was a lot going on at DTech in San Diego all week.
There really, really was. You're right. There's a lot to unpack and to chat through here today. So I know that you took some time even before your flight, because you are just that quick to kind of run through some big learnings, think about, what the big takeaways were for the industry, for us as a team. So I want to use that as sort of the framework for this conversation, because I think having these, 10 big lessons that we're walking away from DistribuTech with is really, really valuable. The one that I think we should start with here, a lot of what DistribuTech is all about is providers offering solutions to big problems that seem to really be determining the narrative, the direction of the utility industry. It seems like there was a bit of a takeaway or a feeling here at DistribuTech this year that it's not just about throwing a bunch of solutions at the wall. It's also about really getting granular and defining those problems. Tell me a little bit more about what you heard in terms of that as a takeaway number one.
Yeah, I think a conference like DistribuTech, we all get excited to go for it. It's once a year. We have a lot of build up to it. So there's a tendency to move towards buzzwords, and predictably something like AI or data centers, those are the buzzwords that we came in expecting and that we all heard about. But I think what's important, and I heard this from a couple different conversations and panelists, is let's not get too deep into those. Let's not just say, all right, well, I need an AI solution for X, Y, and Z. Let's instead talk about, well, what does intelligence mean? What does scaling mean? What do all of these terms, digitalization is another one I heard. Like, why do we keep talking about digitalization when we kind of don't have necessarily a common framework for what that means? So I thought that was just a really insightful point that, again, I heard from a couple of different people I got to talk to of, before they got into their panel, before they kicked things off, they said, let's make sure we're all speaking the same language here, because it's easy to get excited and just, feel like you're off to the races and leave those building blocks behind.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And even when we're talking about things that might at surface level seem specific, they don't always actually end up being that specific. Demand response, right? Or VPPs. These are words that we hear a lot in programming and conversations. But okay, what exactly do you mean? What exactly does that look like in practice? What is the problem that that's solving? I think that using technology as a way to open the door to more specific conversations about like what the problem is did feel like a significant part of the conference. And I think in addition to that too, I know you mentioned this in one of your learnings as well, that a lot of the problems that we're talking about are really, really big. When we're talking about affordability is something that is large and thorny and has a lot of different angles that we can take to really understand it. But it seems like the solutions are kind of maybe also taking a similar approach. It's not a one size fits all sort of a, problem solver, right? Like that kind of feels like what people are talking about.
Yeah, I was kind of comparing it to, a couple of years ago at DTech when, maybe data centers weren't the headliner, but it was EVs. And it was like, okay, so you had different booths and different vendors saying, well, here's our solution. We're solving that problem. And you know, maybe they're competing with each other to be, you know, that top level solution, but it's all kind of, in a way, self-contained. But the challenges that we're talking about, you brought up affordability, there's not going to be a single booth or a single product demonstration that's like, ah, you figured it out. That's what we were waiting for. But instead, you know, with a problem as base level and important as affordability, I think, you know, everybody who had a presentation or a demo, it might not have been, here's my affordability solution. It was my DER, you know, integration, my ADMS, whatever it might be. There was always a moment in that presentation where it was like, now, how does this help with affordability? How does this, you know, keep down costs for the utilities? How can that help the ultimate ratepayers? And so it was just an interesting shift in that way where, you know, none of us are looking for that, you know, kind of silver bullet solution, but kind of coming together as an industry and say, nobody's going to own it, but if we put all of these good ideas together, how does that kind of chip away at the problem? And almost, again, instead of one person owning or one organization owning, here's that solution. It's almost democratizing it. It's we all need to kind of tap into the nodes across the industry and see where can we, you know, chip away. And that's not just affordability, it's everything. The, you know, meeting the challenges of data center loads and growing loads and all of that. It's the same thing. We're seeing more and more all hands on deck, I guess, is a good way to put it.
Absolutely. And it is, I think, encouraging to see an entire industry come together to realize that there are certain big, big problems that need solving. You know, the utility industry has never really, in my experience, been want for here's the next big thing that we need to figure out. That's something we can typically all agree on. To the point on affordability, this was huge. I mean, this, as you mentioned, was kind of at the core of a lot of the conversations. We'll talk about the data centers and AI stuff as well, but affordability really was the kind of the word on everybody's lips at DTEC this year. There's even some protesters, I understand. I didn't personally see them, but, you know, people were there having the conversation about affordability, whether or not we're always ready for that. You know, that seemed to be a big, big part of the conversations that our team was having was, how does all of this filter back to positively, hopefully, impact affordability for consumers of all kinds? What else did you hear and see?
In an environment like DistribuTech, you know, you have different players. You have the utilities are there, the vendors, you have some level of regulators. I even saw DOE had a booth, which was kind of cool. So, but it's all stakeholders almost on one side of the challenge. And with the affordability, you mentioned the protesters. I did come across them at one point. That was a first for me, and it was a kind of, and they were, you know, protesting that they were, you know, upset about their rates in the local area, and they say, see, there's this group of energy folks getting together. That's a place to get their message out, and I think it's just a reminder of the other side, the stakeholder, you know, not that it's, you know, them against them, but just the rounding out the stakeholders, and there's people outside this industry that are very interested, and you know, it impacts them greatly, and you know, when we look at something like AI and data centers, if you read non-industry publications, it's even hotter of a topic, arguably, because you see have people seeing data centers come in, they see that their rates are going up. It's understandable that they're going to naturally link those together, and it turns into a little bit of a, you know, a NIMBY issue of, oh, we don't want that here. And, you know, within the power sector, we might not, you know, necessarily think that's the direct correlation, but, you know, we need to understand messaging wise where that's coming from, and, you know, figure out how to bring all the stakeholders into that conversation.
I mean, 100%. And I think it's also a good moment to talk too about some of the you know, it's almost cultural conversations that I think our team was having as well with a lot of, you know, the vendors, the people who are on the show floor, but with the utility folks that we met as well, even with people from big tech. There seems to be this sort of sense that it's time to take action. We, as you mentioned, have taken the trouble to really define the problem that's necessary. We have taken the time to really understand the second, third, fourth order impacts. That's really necessary. Now it feels like it's time to do something. And I think affordability is a good example of that. You know, a lot of the conversations I had were focused on, okay, how many times have we talked about the impact of data centers and AI? How many times have we noted what that is going to mean in terms of demand increase over the next 3, 5, 10 years? Now it's time to really figure out, okay, what do we do? What is the action that we take? What are the regulatory needs? What are the partnership needs? How do these utilities kind of find a path to help them move forward and take action. You know, that's something we talk about on this show a lot too. I feel like the question I'm always asking is, okay, and then what? You know, and then what are you going to do about it? And then how are we going to solve this problem? I think that that seems like it was a big, big part of the conversation in a way that maybe even last year, it didn't really feel as significant.
Yeah. And I think that the other thing I would tack on to that is, you know, every other panel has had that data center ilk to it, but there's also this year compared with last more of a, maybe an optimism to it of, again, we have the tools we need to do this. And, you know, it's less about, you know, what's going to be the moonshot that helps us solve this. And it's a little bit more about, all right, well, we have the solutions. Now it's just about working through red tape, making sure the financing is there. And then I think the real challenge is just scale. There's a little bit of a delta between where the data centers are coming now and faster than ever with their load. And some of those solutions that we need are still mired in the permitting maybe, or the, you know, just, you know, what it takes to get through the red tape to get in there. So again, it's not a technology problem in that we're waiting for somebody to come up with the next great solution. It's just, how do we collectively figure out how to efficiently move it along and to scale along with where the need is scaling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. And I think the data centers workshop that Energy Central participated in, we hosted a panel. I participated in one as well on the first day of the programming. That idea of figuring out where the problem is and scaling the solution in a way that is contextually, you know, relevant to the problem as we have defined it was a big part of that conversation. You know, there were examples of how, you know, let's take AWS, Amazon Web Services, how someone like AWS is helping to move things along faster, helping to, you know, develop really interesting tech that they can actually show on screen and say, this is how you go through it. This is what it looks like. This is how it impacts forecasting or planning for the utilities that are in the audience. I think things like that, those tangible impacts felt a lot more present and relevant at this year's DistribuTech, in my opinion. But I think it's also a good moment to talk too about, you know, the problems that we're looking to solve as an industry now, it's not necessarily that they're brand new. Maybe the ways that we're going about solving them, the scale with which they need to be solved might feel new and novel. But this idea of something suddenly increasing demand growth, that's not new to anybody in the industry who has, you know, read about appliances in the 50s and 60s, but it is specific to now. I think that there were more conversations that I was having about the ways that companies, vendors, utilities that have kind of seen things, you know, that they've lived through things, that they can take those learnings into solving this problem of AI data centers demand growth. We had some great conversations with our partners at IFS Copperleaf. I got to chat with, I think, 5 or 6 members of their team to kind of hear, you know, what they're working on, what's most important to them. And it seems like one of the resounding messages that I heard from their team a lot, which was really common throughout the show, we can't just throw tech at problems. We have to really understand what we're doing. It has to serve a purpose. It has to make business sense for, you know, the let's say utility implementing this solution. And part of why someone like IFS Copperleaf, you know, has the kind of, you know, the backbone to say things like that is because they've got 20 plus years of experience in implementing tech solutions. So I think there was a real sense to me of, we haven't just started working on this solution. This is something that, you know, we have been trying to figure out for years. It's not just AI washing. It's not just tech washing. A lot of these, you know, vendors and companies and teams we were chatting with seem to have really said, you know, this isn't new for us. It might be new in terms of the conversations that we're having, in terms of the importance, and in terms of how often we're having the same kind of conversation. But this isn't new. This isn't a new problem for us to solve. And leaning on that experience seems to be something that was really popular this year.
Yeah. And you know, I had a chance to listen in on some of those conversations you were having. And you know, what stuck out to me was hearing that, hey, and the market is responding to that. I'm not going to say we're post hype cycle, but we're, you know, we're a little bit more mature than just thinking about the hype cycle. And like I was saying earlier, just what are those buzzwords? What are the shiny toys? The toys are so shiny, but the financing is there, the economics are there, and it's becoming a reality. And, you know, I think even one step further, I was hearing some of it, reframing some of these topics away from challenges into opportunities. And that's a little bit of a corporate cliche, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, with, you know, the two where I heard it separately, but, you know, kind of made the connection is with DERs and AI. Both of them, even last year at DistribuTech, the, you know, a prevailing conversation would be, how are we going to manage this? You know, with DERs, you know, how is a central grid operator going to know how to plan and utilize and make sure the power is where it's needed? And, you know, with, you know, so many nodes all across the system. And then with AI, obviously the question was, like we've said numerous times already, that needs data centers. Data centers need a lot of power. So, you know, even a year ago, those are framed just as like, all right, these are problems that we're solving. But both of them, I separately heard shifted as, these are going to help us solve the problems that we have. You know, we're, you know, with AI, we've always been working towards this. It's all right. Well, will AI become a tool that in the energy sector specifically is being more additive to a solution than a power drain? And again, the optimism seems prevailing. Yes, it's going to help us do better forecasting. It's going to help us respond more immediately to outages or challenges across the grid, and those efficiencies are going to outweigh the aggregate power demand that they're drawing from us. So they're going to become a solution. DERs, it's kind of ties in. It's, you know, all right, it used to be all these EVs across the grid or people with their rooftop solar, we can't predict it. Now it's going to become, man, isn't it great we have these DERs that we can draw from for when there's a need for demand response, for when we need to shift the load around, or even just, hey, we're trying to meet that data center load quickly. Well, good thing we have, you know, how many gigawatts of solar that, you know, we were stressing about before, but now they're part of that solution.
I mean, it's cool. Like, this is a cool problem to solve. This is a cool approach to solving it. I think it's also a good time to mention we went to a happy hour. I think it was on like Monday or Tuesday night that was hosted by the DER Task Force, of whom we are big fans. They're doing some really cool stuff. They hosted a happy hour. It was packed. Like, it was throwing elbows trying to get to the bar. And I think that kind of just goes to show you there is community around some of these big things that at one point felt pretty novel or you know, out there, or we weren't quite sure how this was going to factor into the future of the grid, to the future of utilities as a business. And now we have people who say that they're, you know, like DER pilled, right? Like that is a big part of the community of what it means to be part of the energy industry. And going to an event like that, that's like packed to the gills, is very, very cool to me to see all of that excitement and optimism and people who are just amped to figure it out together. And, you know, I think community is a big part of this event in any way, shape, and form. It doesn't have to just be DER specific. You know, there are lots of moments and opportunities for people to come together. And Energy Central did some of that ourselves. You know, we hosted our own breakfast with our partners at TCS, and we got all sorts of wonderful people in a room to just chat and just talk about, we're specifically talking about tech and AI and the impacts on, you know, power businesses of the future. But I think that these moments of taking a step back, getting off the show floor, and just thinking together about, here's the problem that my team is facing and here's how we're solving it. Having those moments of connection are really, really, really valuable. And I feel like this year there was a lot of want for that. There was a lot of interest and excitement around having those moments that maybe are less, here's how this impacts the bottom line, and a little bit more, here's how I'm going to meet somebody who might help me solve something. But I really enjoyed those parts of DTech this year. I thought it was really fun and additive for me personally.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. You know, the demos are always fun to see the tech live, and, you know, the panels, I sat in on a bunch and I learned a lot, but, you know, there are panels online too, and we can get value out of those. But, you know, the time where people's eyes really lit up and there seemed to be, you know, where I personally felt energized were after having conversations with somebody, you know, shaking their hands, swapping some stories, and just, you know, for us at Energy Central, a lot of it is, oh, great, you know, we've been chatting with you for so long. Great to see you in person and build on that connection. And, oh, great, now let me introduce you to this person, and those kind of connections and that kind of collaboration. It's, you know, it's the only way that these problems do get solved. So it might not be as on the, you know, the pre-scheduled agenda for everybody, but it really is where I think some of the most important work at these conferences takes place.
And not so subtle plug that we will be doing a lot more of these. We want to show up. We want to be in the right rooms. We want to have these kinds of conversations. So if you're going to a big event and you think Energy Central should be there, we would love to hear from you. if you are just somebody who wants to hang out in your city, we would also love to hear from you. You know where to find me and to find Matt, because we're coming to a city near you to shake those hands and talk about all this stuff, because it does matter so much. And, you know, I think one of the kind of final big learnings as we're rounding out here, like what we saw, what we experienced, one that feels kind of tied into these conversations that maybe feel a little intangible at times, is this idea of storytelling. This was a theme that I heard over and over and over again. Made some friends from a certain utility in the Northeast who wanted to specifically talk about this and hear perspective on how they could better storytell to their customers what it means when you get this bill, right? Or what it means when we're making this kind of infrastructure investment. I think that was a really, really big one that I heard often, is how do we better tell this story? How do we get buy-in? And the story is also not just being told to customers, it's also being told to regulators, which is a huge part of making sure that any of this growth can happen, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I even heard I was chatting with some people on Southwire, and they'll be on the podcast, that conversation later on. But Drew was telling me that, you know, the story he needs to tell is to utilities too, as a vendor saying, you know, not all different equipment is made the same. And sometimes when we're in this mad scramble to upgrade and build out the grid, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to overlook and just move to that first solution. You want to be able to communicate, here's the differences, here's the delta, here's different geographies have different needs, and all of those require careful consideration. So even when it comes to, you know, somebody who's providing a physical product for the grid, they have to be able to tell a story about why that one is so valuable too.
Yeah. And all of this is core to any of the growth, right? That we're excited about, any of the tools that we're excited about. I think the final thing that I want to talk about too, that I know came up in our conversations with Locust View, data. This was something that I think the question of getting clean data, getting reliable data, getting trustworthy data, I think came up in just about every presentation or every panel that I listened in on, many of the conversations that I had with people in more casual settings too. Tell me a little bit more about Locust View's thoughts on this.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about data centers, so it's a little silly not to chop it off there. We're like, well, what about the data itself? And you know, for the utility industry, there's long been a challenge of data being siloed, data not being necessarily reliable. You know, for a long time, the conversation was we need to convince the utilities about how valuable the data they already have is and what additional data they could get and what they can do with it. That message has definitely sunk in, but, you know, there's still something to be said about making sure they know proper data practices. Make sure you're fending off data degradation. And I think most importantly, you know, Danny at Locust View is telling me that it's not a one-time task. Sometimes, you know, it can be such a large endeavor to go through the data collection and make sure you're doing it in the proper way. And you kind of want to get to the end of that and be like, all right, we did it. That's great. But that's almost just a new starting point of like, well, you need to keep that going. Data maturity requires continually collecting, processing, and analyzing it. And, you know, most importantly, breaking down those silos, making sure enterprise-wide you have that single source of truth that's going to really empower all of the other tools, all of the other shiny toys that we can talk about are built on trusting and, you know, validating that data.
Yeah. And the point, too, that all of this has to happen in a silo-free environment feels like a fitting way to kind of close the conversation too. You know, it's a big challenge to recognize that the solutions to some of the big problems that we have in the utility industry today, there is no one-size-fits-all approach. It has to be everything all at once, which is overwhelming. It is a massive undertaking to recognize that it has to be across teams. It has to be across technologies. It has to be across the entire spectrum from permitting to, you know, the downstream elements of the energy industry, all the way to the upstream elements of the energy industry. You know, this all has to sort of happen in concert, which is hard. It's not going to be easy. But I do think that the conversations that I was hearing this week, to me, suggest that we're having really mature, context-heavy conversations about sort of who's on first, who's responsible for what, where we can partner with people to make the right kinds of moves and make them happen quickly, and how that all ultimately, at the end of the day, boils down to a pretty simple solution and formula of clean, reliable, affordable energy for everybody. That's what we're all after. That's the sort of baseline of all of these conversations. The ways that we get there are a winding road that are complicated and nuanced. But, you know, I think I feel optimistic leaving DistribuTech this year that we're on the right track. Even since last year, the progress that has been made feels significant. It feels measurable. It feels big. And so I'm excited to go again next year and see what our big conversation is going to be in 2027. I imagine it's something we're not even thinking about right now.
I think you're right there. And the optimistic takeaway, I definitely felt that too. So, you know, hopefully we'll keep working on that same track and, you know, we'll see what Atlanta has in 2027, because that's where DistribuTech will be.
Yeah, we'll see you there. We're going to have some fun over the next year. We certainly will have lots of conversations like this focused on some of these big topics. So good to sit down, Matt, at the beginning of the year and chat about what are going to be the dominant forces in our conversations with utility pros this year. Thank you so much for joining us at DistribuTech, for pulling together all of these great ideas, and for sitting down and talking about it with me.
Of course, always great to digest, and curious to see what our community thinks too, if they have additional takeaways.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you have any other big learnings from DTech, if you were there, if you have questions and you were not there, we'd love to hear from you. We'll have this on the Energy Central platform very soon. Send us a question, pop into the comments, and we'll get the conversation going. And in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Kinsey Graham-Baker. This is Matt Chester from Energy Central, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.